United.
Hello, and thanks for listening to TKF United, Stadium Talk That Rocks. I'm Nick McCann, and today's a very special episode of this series. Our friend and collaborator, DK Aniwo, from the SanDiegoChronicle.org, sat down with his friend, Landon Donovan. You all know him. He's probably the most decorated American men's soccer player that we have. So he's become an important part of the Soccer City movement. And DK sat down with him to ask him a bunch of questions on kind of like where he's at with it now and other things to do with soccer. It's a cool discussion they have. They went down to the Harp and OB and sat down and just hit record. And we're really grateful that DK was able to share this with us. He is putting this up on his podcast, the San Diego, the Chronicles of San Diego podcast. That's through his website, the SanDiegoChronicle.org. Go ahead and check that out. They have a lot of really great writers over there, and they're doing stuff with sports and other topics around town. It's really worth checking out. So yeah, I think there's going to be an extended version over there. So check out his podcast. Again, that's the Chronicles of San Diego podcast. And we just want to say thanks to DK for he's been helping us get this whole series together, and really been a really cool connection that we've made through this podcast. He was on our live pod. You might remember him from the live pod that we did, the Kept Faith's winter meeting. But he's the man around town who knows soccer, and he's gotten to know Landon over the last 2 years, and they kicked it, I guess. Sorry, that was really bad. They kicked it. No, but they went down and hung out. So here's their discussion about soccer, Soccer City, and San Diego. Enjoy.
Welcome back to the Chronicles of San Diego podcast. Joining me today for the first time on this program is the one, the only, Mr. Landon Donovan. Landon, how are you?
I'm doing well. We're here watching World Cup games this morning. We're about to see England-Belgium play.
Here as in Ocean Beach, right?
Ocean Beach. That's my first time in Ocean Beach, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
At the Harp. What do you think about the environment in the Harp for the first game?
This is my first time since I was 16 where I get to just watch and enjoy a World Cup.
Yeah.
And I couldn't drink then. I can drink now.
Aha.
So I can come to a bar, hang out. It's a lot of fun.
Have a couple beers, make a few friends.
Yeah.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. So I think part of the reason that we're here at the Harp in particular today is because I think this is the site of the Foodie McFoodie face drive, right? I think just before we pressed the red button today, I saw you drop off a few cans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Why don't you tell me a little bit about your experience here in San Diego, particularly with the soccer community and you know, the folks who are putting on this drive?
So I'll just take a step back. When I was playing, the thought of interacting, engaging with fans in the soccer community outside of soccer specific events like training or games was candidly exhausting, the idea, because you're there, people want pictures, they want autographs. It feels just a little bit exhausting at times. But now that I'm retired and I'm part of a community, I really enjoy it. And I actually said to my wife last night, as we were kind of discussing what the day is today is going to be like, I just told her how much fun it is to go and experience this with people who are like-minded, who love the game, who love to watch the game at this level especially. So I'm really enjoying it. And this whole project has had many different spin-offs. And one of the great spin-offs has been Footy McFooty Face, and Foodie McFoodie Face now, which is a charitable arm of it that is getting people to do things good in this community to make this community better. And one of those things is donating food to people who need it, to the San Diego Food Bank. So that was part of today. It will be a continued part of what we do going forward, and it's an honor to be a part of it.
Absolutely. And, you know, you talk about the project, and obviously we're talking about the Soccer City project. I think the first time you and I ever sat down to record a pod was, I listened to the audio before today. It was March 31st, 2017. We had actually a pretty interesting conversation about the project itself, and you were still new on the scene at that point. And so now we fast forward a year, in 4 months. And why don't you tell me a little bit of what's kind of transpired from your sort of perspective in that time? You know, it's been a roller coaster.
It is. That's the right word. It's been a roller coaster. I moved to San Diego a little over 2 years ago with my wife, and when I first got here and got involved with this project, I heard the same thing from everybody. They said, San Diego's a messy place politically. It's going to be very interesting to see. And just beware of that as you go into it. And so, sorry, just a little air traffic here.
Pause for plane. We're in Ocean Beach. We're outside in this little attic or adia. What is this called?
Alley.
Alley, that's the word. The alley behind the arc. Yeah, go for it.
So, everybody told me from the beginning that this place is a little bit messy politically and you're going to learn a lot and just beware of that going in. And my response was kind of like, well, I mean, it can't be that bad, yeah. Right? It can't be that interesting. It can't be anything I haven't really dealt with before. But now, after going through this for a year plus, you realize, unfortunately, why a lot of things never happen in this city, why the Chargers leave, why it took so long for the Padres to get a beautiful stadium, why the airport only has one runway. There are a lot of reasons why things don't happen, and it's been an interesting journey. But at the same time, while a lot of that has been negative and time-consuming, the beauty has been being out in the community, which I wouldn't have done otherwise. I'm very much a homebody with my family most of the time. Being out in the community and meeting people who actually do want to get things done in this city and do want to do something great in this city. So we are now less than 5 months out from our vote in November 6th. And this for me will be the fun part, because we get to go sell what we're trying to do here, that we're trying to bring something really special to San Diego, for all of San Diego. And so there's been a lot of ups and downs, but I'm really looking forward to the next 4+ months.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, talking about ups and downs and sort of starts and fits and starts and restarts and things, you know, a couple weeks ago at Liberty Station at the Stone Brewing over there, there was this massive event, right? And it was sort of the relaunch. It was sort of not so much the rebrand, but kind of the re-kickoff, right, of this campaign as we get into it. Mm-hmm. And I know at the time, you know, one thing that was still up in the air was sort of just what exactly that next 4 or 5 months looks like when it comes to the campaign itself. You know, I know that there was, you know, one lawsuit being filed by a couple of people. There's a couple other lawsuits being filed by city attorneys and things like that. And I kind of just want to get your sense for where all that political stuff sits in the balance. And then contrast that with all of, like you said, this sort of community activism and you know, the fun part of what you're doing. Because, you know, I'm sure there is some contrast there.
Very much so. They're two very different, distinct parts. And I don't know anything about the political piece. I'm learning a lot, and I'm enjoying actually learning the political side of it. I think in a way, when city council basically turned their back at this project and didn't do, in my opinion, what they're elected to do, I think what it kind of did is it told us to, it made us say, okay, you know what, let's not deal with 9 people at City Hall. Let's go deal with the people of San Diego and see what the people of San Diego want. And in the end, if the people of San Diego say, we don't want Soccer City and we don't want this project, fair enough.
So be it.
So be it. That's the way life is. But let's go focus on that. And so I like learning the political side. It's fun to be a part of and listen in on and hear those things. But what I'm really passionate about is let's go sell what we're trying to do. And that's where my energy is going to be focused. There is something special. We're watching the World Cup this month. When you see the passion and the excitement, the either civic or in this case with the World Cup, national pride, shine through, it's beautiful. Yeah. There are people, Mexican people, carrying Korean fans in their arms around the city of Moscow last night because Korea helped them advance in the World Cup. And that doesn't happen in other sports. That doesn't happen in other walks of life. It never happens. That can be San Diego. Yeah. We can have that here in San Diego. That's extremely tangible here in San Diego. So I want to sell that, and I want to be committed to that. And that part of it, candidly, is really fun.
Yeah. You know, I want to touch briefly on this concept of national pride and just the passion with which supporters step up and, you know, back their countries. You know, obviously, like you said, it's World Cup season. United States is not in, you know, and those of us who are from this country have some decisions to make with regards to, you know, who we decide to root for. So I know that, you know, for the most part, like you said, you are a homebody and you don't necessarily love the spotlight. But you've been in headlines lately for a couple of different reasons. You know, one of them being this whole idea that you have to support, you know, the Mexican national team while the U.S. is in abstention for this.
I don't have to.
No, yeah, you made a decision. It's a decision that you made. And I kind of want to just, you know, for the time that we've got, you know, kind of have you walk me through your decision-making process and, mm-hmm. and just how you stand at this point in time.
So it's really interesting because I'll start forward and then I'll go back. It's really interesting to see how people are affected by this conversation, because there are a lot of people who say, under no circumstances, no matter what, will I ever support not only another team that's not my country, but specifically not a rival team of my country. So I've had English fans say, I would never, ever support France or Germany. I've had Dutch people say, I would never support Belgium or Germany, ever. And then you get other people who say, well, listen, my team's not in it, Holland's not in it. I want to see, you know, I have a lot of family members who are Belgian or German. I want to see them do well. So it's like most things in our country now, it's very divided and people really dig in and sort of take a side. So now I'll go back. I think the reason this became bigger than it needed to be was I didn't do a good job of explaining to people where I was coming from. So if the first image you see is of me holding a Mexico scarf or wearing a Mexico shirt, people are going to go, wait, what's going on? Yeah. This guy's a sellout, or why is he doing this? So I grew up playing with Mexicans. I owe most of my soccer career to Mexican culture and Mexican soccer culture, because that's where I learned how to play. And because of that, I was much better than other kids my age, because I learned technically how to play. While other kids were doing sprints and doing fitness, I was touching the ball, because that's how Mexicans learn to play. So I owe a bunch of my early career to that. And also, when I look at the Mexico rivalry over the years, as much as it was nasty at times and us versus them, that helped all of us grow. It made Mexico better, it made the US better, right? Not only in the soccer world, just in general, it made everybody care about this. So if you look at it from that standpoint, we should both be excited that both of us have done well. If we were both ranked 100 in the world, nobody would care, right? The fact that if we were both ranked 100th in the world, people wouldn't care as much about this rivalry, right? The fact that we are both top 20, 25 teams in the world and have this rivalry makes everything better. So we should want Mexico to succeed. The Mexicans should want the U.S. to succeed. Now, when we play each other, of course, I'm rooting for the U.S. and I want the U.S. to win. And when I played against Mexico, I wanted to win. But we should want to see each other do well. And I think if I had prefaced everything with that, it's a little easier pill for people to swallow than just seeing some image of me holding a Mexican scarf. So I can understand the people who say, you know what, I don't agree with that, but, you know, whatever, teach your own. I can understand people who say, yeah, I appreciate that. There are our border, or there are friends to the south, and we should all be in this together. So I see both sides. I should have just done a better job of explaining myself.
That's fair. That's fair. You know, one thing that I really wanted to dig into, I know that this is somewhat putting the cart before the horse, but when it comes to the soccer side of things, and, you know, in the event that Soccer City is successful and November 7th rolls around and, you know, we know that the project is going to move forward, I think one of the areas that you would probably look to shift your attention to is this concept of the academy, right? And being involved on the soccer side, particularly with respect to development of players and young people. I kind of want to get just your philosophy, sort of broad strokes, when it comes to development and education. And then maybe we'll talk a little bit more about, you know, maybe specifically what you have in mind for this academy.
So this is the part that excites me, right? I don't want to be, like, sitting in city hall meetings and worrying about,
really,
you know, these kind of things. I want to get to the soccer part, right? So the hope is that on November 6th, late at night, or early morning, November 7th, we know that Soccer City is going through and we can actually focus our attention on the fun stuff. What has drawn me to this from the beginning is the ability to have a tangible impact on what happens both at the first team level, but more so at the youth level here in San Diego. And any way you slice it, though there have been some players from San Diego, men's and women's, who have made it through to professional ranks or to the national team, I don't think there have been enough for the amount of talent that are here. And I think we can do a really good job of making that better. I think that's a strong suit. Myself, Shannon McMillan, Carrie Taylor, who's on our team, and many others who understand what it takes to do that. So we can get into the nuts and bolts of that, but the big picture is that would be a passion of mine. I really want to be able to do that. One, because I like to see people do well. Two, because I want to be successful and I want to see how I do in helping develop these young people as soccer players and or just people. And three, it'll be fun. I mean, that for me is a you know, I haven't found many passions post playing. That would be a big passion of mine.
Okay. When it comes to, I guess even just conceptually, right? So the Soccer City kind of has two physical parcels to it, right? There's Mission Valley site where Qualcomm currently is now, and then there's the old Chargers training ground. And I think there are a lot of people who have asked me certain questions about, okay, you know, what exactly is going to happen like up at that secondary facility on Murphy Canyon Road? Like, mm-hmm. Can you maybe even just walk me through like what that sure. compound might look like in the future?
Well, nothing set in stone.
Yeah,
but
might.
My vision for that would be very clear. It would be a first team facility for the professional team and eventually the professional women's team during the morning when they train. And then from midday all the way through the evening, it would be a youth training facility for all of our youth teams who are a part of what we're doing at Soccer City. So there would be probably, I'm guessing, two grass fields and one turf field.
Okay.
And a full built-out facility where the Chargers used to have their facilities with weight rooms,
swimming pools,
all those
stuff.
Offices, all kinds of things where kids can get better and make themselves better. And that's what that site would look like. And really, when you think about it, it would be a parcel of joy every day from 12 till 8 or 9 p.m., right? With just kids enjoying themselves, getting better, developing as people, developing as soccer players. In addition to that, we will have the ability to put a hotel there or dorms there so that when Barcelona come to play in the States, when Manchester United come to play in the States, when Real Madrid come to play in the States, we can say, hey guys, come here, stay here. You'll have a beautiful training facility. From here, you can play a game at our new soccer stadium. You can travel up to LA and play a game, but this can be your base, right? And that is another piece of this that can be so valuable for everybody.
Yeah. You know, talking about bases, and you obviously, like you said, we're in June, we're watching the World Cup now. You know, the United States, Mexico, and Canada have just been sort of awarded this joint bid for 2026. And in theory, were everything to go well for you and your team, San Diego's facility would be up and running come that 2026 World Cup. And so you're saying that in theory, not only could a professional club team come and maybe stay here over the summer while they do their trainings and their preseason, but in theory we could have World Cup nations based out of San Diego. So while we might not host a game, you're saying that there's potential for that as well?
Yeah, it would be a no-brainer, right? Because what happens in World Cups, and this happens many years out, as soon as the host country gets named, so now people in the federations of all these countries are looking at places where they can go and call their base camp. You know, in Germany, when we played in Germany, we were based in Hamburg. When we were in South Africa, we were based just a little outside of Johannesburg. When we were in Korea, we were in Korea at a certain base camp. So we would have, and I would imagine there would be many, many teams interested in being in San Diego for a lot of reasons, weather obviously, but just the beautiful lifestyle, and the team would love to be here. We would absolutely have a team here. Question is what team, but yeah, that would be a real source of excitement for the city.
And that'd be a position of strength that San Diego would be dealing from when it comes to these different teams that are, I mean, there's only one San Diego, right? And there's, you know, what, 48 teams that would be competing.
Yeah, no question.
Okay. One of the other things that I kind of wanted to get a better understanding of was, I guess, specifically how, and this is maybe a little bit more on the soccer side of things, which is fine, you know, I'm prepared to go that way. When it comes to the existing youth clubs and just youth infrastructure and soccer infrastructure that exists in San Diego, I know you had like I think lunch the other day with a few of the different DOCs from around town and talking about just what soccer looks like, and specifically the relationship between the Soccer City Academy and the existing youth ecosystem out here. Can you maybe talk to me about what you see that relationship looking like?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm a little idealistic by nature.
Really?
So my goal would be that every club, youth club here, is, while they compete with each other, and I understand that, and there are reasons for that, everybody is aligned to make, one, make MLS San Diego happen, but two, when it does happen, to make it a collaborative team effort, a unified effort, so that there is real synergy between us and every youth club. And my idea, I mean, listen, if we're being candid, if you are a big youth club here in San Diego, you're going to feel a little bit threatened by an MLS Academy coming in, because presumably some of your players are going to be playing for that MLS Academy, which means you lose the players, which means you're not as successful, etc. But what happens all over the world, and you know this well, if you're at Manchester United and you're at Manchester United's Youth Academy and you're a youth club in the Manchester area, and Manchester United comes and says, hey, we really like that girl, she's a really good player, we want to bring her to our girls' academy. If you're that youth club, you're honored, because you developed that girl and made her get to a point where Manchester United wanted to take her.
Yeah.
And that's the mindset we need to start creating. Mm-hmm. And somebody at our meeting the other day actually said that. They said, if you came to grab one of our players because you thought they were good enough to make it in Major League Soccer, we would be honored. We should do that. My point in all of that is we can't just take players. We need to be able to reciprocate. So what can we give back to the club? In the rest of the world, without child labor laws, they're able to compensate the clubs. Maybe we can compensate them monetarily, but there are other ways that we can be helpful to provide something back to the clubs. And if you do that, you get this symbiotic relationship that's great for everybody.
Okay. That's awesome. That's awesome. So now, as we sort of turn the corner, you know, we're winding down the group stage of the World Cup, getting into the end of June and turning into July. You know, what comes next for Soccer City and for you and this project between now and November? You know, what do you see unfolding over the next few months?
So the hardest part of this project is sometimes you have to sit and wait. The reality of campaigns I'm learning is that everything ramps up the last probably 2 months or so. So right now we're still 4+ months out. We want to go and do and make a difference and do things. And we can do that, but it has to be at a slow pace. We're not going to go all in yet, right? It's like in poker, like if you got a pair of aces in your hand, you don't want to bet all your chips at once, right? You might want to wait a few turns and wait and see what happens. So we have to wait a little bit, but in the meantime, the process has already started, will continue to happen, where we will try to continue to convince people that this is good for San Diego. And if you're not a soccer person, that's fine. This is still great for San Diego. Having a major league sports team here will be good for our community. We'll build a community. Having a beautiful river park that is completely paid for and completely maintained for 100 years is good for our community. Having retail and restaurants and office space is good for our community. Having lots of land for San Diego State to grow and expand their campus is great for our community. And by the way, you don't have to pay a single dollar. I'm a taxpayer in San Diego. I love this project. I think it's amazing. If they were asking me for tax money, it would make me think twice about it. Okay. I would say, I pay enough taxes here in California. I don't need to pay more taxes.
Yeah.
We're not asking for a single penny of anybody's money. We'll do it by ourselves.
Yeah.
And I think when you look at it from all those different perspectives, you have to say, this is great for San Diego.
Yeah. You know, I heard you mention San Diego State, and that to a certain degree sort of segues into my next question, which is, you know, we've talked a lot about the intention and the plan and the desire for us to go forward, but, you know, one thing I want to do is always continue to be realistic, right? And I kind of want to get a sense for what you see the challenges are going forward, you know, over the course of these next 4 months, whether it's state or whether it's, you know, anything else. Like, where do you see, I guess, the steepest slope to scale?
The biggest challenge is going to be in educating people that the other proposal that's going to be on the ballot, SDSU West, is not SDSU. That's the biggest challenge, because it's in the name. You know, they're, in my opinion, illegally using San Diego State's name. But it's really a group of developers, just like our site is, who want that land to make money on. And so if you just look at it, at both of them for what they are, it's a group of developers who want the land to develop something.
Yeah.
One side, our side, completely tax-free, not going to pay a penny of taxes, and you get a river park, retail, office, housing, San Diego State gets to expand, and an MLS team. The other side will cost you tax money, whether it's existing tax money or future tax money, and it'll have space for San Diego State to expand. Doesn't guarantee a river park, doesn't guarantee housing, doesn't guarantee retail. There won't be any retail. So if you just look at it from that standpoint, it's an easy option. The challenge we have is making sure that people understand very clearly that SDSU West is not SDSU, and it's just a group of developers who want to do that. If we can accurately separate those two so that people understand that, the merits of our project versus theirs, ours is a slam dunk. And people, I think, over the next few months will realize that.
Slam dunk is a basketball term. I would maybe caution you to use the word tap-in.
It's a
soccer
tap-in.
Term. It's a tap-in.
There you go.
That's one for the record, but okay. And that's good to know, because I think part of what's been interesting over this entire process from where I sit and, you know, on the outside looking in, it has been up and down, and there's been sort of ebbs and flows, and we've gone quiet for a while, and now it's, you know, starting to get excited again with this World Cup. And so as this campaign really looks to kick off, you know, I think a lot of people around all of San Diego will be paying very keen attention to what's going on.
And I hope so, right? Because I want people to be educated and make an educated decision. There may be people that say, listen, I don't care if it's going to cost me tax money. I love San Diego State. Even if it's developers who are making money, if I believe that San Diego State is going to benefit more from it, that's the choice I want to make. And that's fine, right? But if you're really, truly educated and you want what's best, San Diego State is going to benefit greatly in both plans. It's just that in our plan, you're not paying anything for it. You get a river park, you get retail, you get housing, you get a Major League Soccer team, and you get a great stadium, right? Yeah. And so that's, and again, if you choose the other side, that's fine, but just make sure you're educated.
Okay. Okay. So as people are looking to, whether it's get educated themselves or maybe find other outlets where they could learn more, like, you know, where would you direct people's attention going further forward over the next few months?
That's a good question. Perhaps the Chronicles of San Diego.
Hey, there we go. Shameless.
No, you need people who are objective, right? I think the Voice of San Diego does a pretty good job. Unfortunately, our local paper, I don't think, does a great job of giving both sides. They sort of give one side of the story. There'll be a lot of, you'll hear a lot of rhetoric on TV stations. You'll see mailers, you'll hear ads. I think if you can kind of get through all that and try to figure out what the actual facts are, that would be helpful and useful.
Excellent. Excellent, excellent. Well, Landon, thank you so much for the time. I know we're sort of in between games, and you're not too far away from Belgium, England. So, on that note, we're going to wind down. And predictions for this next game?
Well, both teams are incentivized to not win because they end up on a better side of the bracket. So, I have no idea what's going to happen.
No idea. Well, let's just root for a few goals and maybe a memory or two.
That'd be fun.
All right. Signing off, DK Nemo, Landon Donovan. This is the Chronicles of San Diego podcast. Bye.
TKF United.